Welcome to WGIL Galesburg Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Well, good morning. It is 7:15. This is Galesburg Live. Thanks for being with us here this morning. In our first hour, we're going to talk about the ever-changing automotive industry. Talk about the future and, boy, lots of changes over the years. And it just keeps going fast, especially when it comes to technology. As we welcome in the owner of Galesburg Nissan, Jeff Klink. Jeff, good morning. Thanks for joining us here this morning.
Good morning, Tom.
Doesn't this seem like deja vu? I don't know. Sometimes it does.
We've done this before.
We have. All right. Well, let's talk Galesburg Nissan once again. Named a winner of the Nissan Award of Excellence 4 years in a row now. And this award, I know it means a lot to you, but it should mean a lot to your customers, and people should realize there's a reason you guys are doing so well, and an award like that means that a lot of it is being there for your customers, I guess.
That's right. Nissan has about 1,400 dealers in the United States, and less than 100 dealers a year win the Award of Excellence. And it's rare to repeat as an Award of Excellence winner, but now we've done it for the fourth time in a row. So we're very proud of it. There's not another Award of Excellence winner even one time recently within 150 miles of Galesburg, let alone a repeat winner. So they look at a lot of things when they determine it. It's sales volume, your market share, how much of the new vehicle registrations in your market did you actually sell. They look at owner loyalty. When people buy from you, do they buy from you again? And then they look at customer satisfaction. You get surveyed just like anywhere anymore, but when your car's in the shop for service, whether it be a routine oil change or a warranty repair or what we call customer pay repair, something that we can't get covered for you under warranty, as well as the vehicle sale itself. They want to know how that went.
So they keep track. If somebody bought from a Nissan dealership, they weren't satisfied, they go to another Nissan dealership. They have all that information. I'm guessing there's multiple ways they could keep track, whether it's VIN number or what are some of the ways they keep track of that?
Yep, they know all the VIN numbers of the cars they sell. And when we report a sale, that's what starts the warranty. And you have to report the address you're registering that vehicle at, where it's going to be licensed and titled. And that date starts the warranty period for the vehicles. And then that also drives the incentives, so you have to be accurate with it, because there could be a different rebate from the manufacturer for whatever reason. Chicago is heavy on Sentras this month. They might have a $500 higher rebate than the Knox County area. So no matter where we're going to sell the car, we have to use the rebates from that area to pass on to the customer.
Another thing is, and you still hear this sometimes, it's not locally here, but, you know, whether it's Quad Cities or Peoria or Chicago, you get into the bigger markets and you're volume dealer, you're volume dealer. And there are some really, really, really big lots in some of these places. That does not mean you get a better deal.
No, it doesn't. Of course, they're going to tell you it does, but it's a federal law. We all get new cars from the same place at the same price. So we do a really good job. We sell 300 new Nissans a year on average. So that, for our size community, that's pretty good. And if we don't have it in stock, we can usually get it overnight. And no different pricing. Everything's just as if it were sitting on the lot right then.
Yeah, and I guess being the volume dealer, they're not, depending on where they're at, they're competing probably with the Nissan dealership that's, you know, within 5 or 10 miles of them, whether it's like up in the suburbs or whatever. So, yeah, so maybe they're a little bit less than them, but that still doesn't mean you're getting necessarily a great deal.
Right. They've got to make money, too.
Yeah.
They have bills to pay. We have 30 local employees. Most of them have been there 15, 20 years. I've been there 28 years now, and I'm by far not the most senior person on the team.
Well, and that's the one thing that would scare me to death in your business, not really knowing how things work exactly. But, you know, part of it, yes, you have to have some volume, and you guys do a great volume of sales. So you do have to have that. But in order to have that, you have to not only take care of your customers, giving them great deals, too. So there's you're walking that fine line, because you are a business. You have to make money for you and your employees. You have to, for Nissan as well. They're a business. That's the bottom line. So that's got to be a really scary, hard line to walk.
It is. And with the internet, everybody's trying to advertise the lowest price. And a lot of times when you get there, you find out they had a military discount that you don't qualify for, or a college grad program on, you're not a college grad. So there's a lot of deceptive advertising, but we want to be fair. We want to bend over backwards to take good care of you. We like, our motto is you just can't buy a Nissan for less. If we sit down and look at option for option, yeah, you can buy a Altima for $22,000, or you can buy an Altima for $32,000, and that's all at the same dealership, given all the things the same. So that if you sit down and look at what you're buying and where you're buying it from, and have some sort of trust, then I think you'll find it's pretty across the board. Yeah. And we want to be fair. Last thing I want to do is give a person a price and have them go to Peoria or the Quad Cities, the most common thing that happens around here, and then look bad because we didn't have a good price. A lot of times it's just because there's less equipment or something else.
Yeah, that's the thing. You know, like you said, within one model, whether it's a Sentra or a Maxima or Altima or what Murano, there's a whole bunch of different levels to every one of those vehicles.
There sure is.
Jeff Klink, the owner of Galesburg Nissan, joining us here this morning. So 10 years, of course, used to be Galesburg Lincoln Mercury. You added Nissan in. So 10 years since that Lincoln's been gone. Now you've been 7 years already in your current location, which doesn't seem possible either.
It doesn't. It seems like two or three years, I would have said. And you and I were talking before we went on the air that time does fly. A lot of changes.
Absolutely.
Been the biggest thing. You know, they did away with Mercury. It was a big decision back then whether or not to let them have back the Lincoln franchise, because Ford Motor Company, when all the economic times were going on and GM and Chrysler were declaring bankruptcy, and they really said in a perfect world we wouldn't have a Lincoln dealer in the size of the town, the size of Galesburg. We just couldn't have the volume to justify the overhead it takes to run the operation. So my mentor was Bob Lindsay in the business for many years, especially since Dad retired and moved away. And so I agonized over the Lincoln decision, but Bob told me, Jeff, I didn't realize how good a Honda dealer I could be until I was just a Honda dealer. And so something rang true to me on that, and I've found Bob to be right. We've become a much better Nissan dealer since we're just a Nissan dealer. Technician training, just for an example. My Nissan technicians spend probably 2 to 3 weeks a year at the training center in Chicago. They have to go up, live in a hotel, and go to class full-time just to maintain their certification to be able to work on the car and do the warranty repairs for Nissan.
You know, and when you say technician, if somebody doesn't know, you're talking about what you used to call a mechanic.
There's a big difference.
There is some mechanical stuff that's part of it, but there's so much technology. I know we've had this discussion with Myron Miller on the show many times, talking about working on all the city vehicles and all the technology that's been added. Yeah, I mean, so every one of your technicians, they are there when they're at their workspace working on a vehicle. They've got a laptop with them.
Oh, yes.
The car's
plugged into the laptop many times.
Yeah, I mean, so many. I mean, whether it's cruise control, talk about some of the other technology that they might be working on or dealing with.
Well, the intelligent cruise control's starting to become widespread, and that's where you turn your cruise on and set your following distance, and it follows traffic. Nissan's got the next level to that now called ProPilot, ProPilot Assist, actually. That will follow stop-and-go traffic. You just set your maximum speed and your following distance. It follows stop-and-go traffic. In Chicago rush hour, it'll stop on the interstate when the car in front of it stops and go when it goes. And it'll steer you and keep you in your lane. I use it out on the interstate. It'll take a curve nicely. You don't have to have any interaction with the steering wheel, the brake, or the accelerator. The forward collision avoidance, even pedestrian detection, is not going to let you hit anything. It's not going to rear-end collision avoidance. If you're backing up, it's going to apply the brakes for you if there's a problem coming or crossing the path. It even is going to detect cars coming down the aisle in the parking lot. If they're just coming towards you, they don't even have to be behind you, and you're going to get a warning. So the radar, the sensors, the sonar, the camera systems. It's unbelievable the things that are on the car now.
I'm guessing it's a little bit unnerving the very first time in traffic you let it take control or going on a curve. It's still got to be, it's like, okay, is it, does it really work?
and that technology is going to change rapidly over the next couple of years. You hear about the driverless car test going on now. But that's, we have the ProPilot on our cars on the showroom. Even some of the base models are starting to come standard with this. The next level, right now the ProPilot Assist does want your hands on the steering wheel. And I'll notice that if you're letting it do too much, not giving any feedback that you're actually still touching the steering wheel, it will disengage. It'll give you a warning first, and then it'll turn off, and it'll actually pull over if it doesn't sense any input from the driver.
I have a story about that coming up. We'll talk about that. Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan, joining us. We're going to talk more about Nissan, more about the car business, more about Galesburg Nissan as well. Again, like you mentioned, without those technicians and the longevity and doing a great job, you don't win an award like the Nissan Award of Excellence, too.
No, you don't. You have to have people that care. And, you know, all 30 of our employees all live and raise their families in Galesburg. And I'm very fortunate. You can't get a group of people that cares more about our customers and their vehicles, taking care of them and making sure we're being fair all along the way.
Time for a news update. We'll get an update on news. We'll come back and talk more with Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan, next. This is Galesburg Live.
Live. Now, this week's host, Tom Meredith.
Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. I'm Tom Meredith. Our guest this morning in the first hour, Jeff Klink. He's the owner of Galesburg Nissan. We were talking about some of the technology and how that's changed over the years. The car business has changed a lot over the years. But you're mentioning the ProPilot Assist, and you know, right at this point with the ProPilot Assist, your hand's got to be on the wheel, and it'll give you a notification. This was nothing horrible, but Jeff and Galesburg Nissan provide our transportation all when we cover Silver Streak Sports.
Yes,
and covering a girls' basketball game coming back from the Quad Cities on a weeknight. This is just this past season within the last few months. I was fine, and just about to the 34 exit off of 74 coming back from the Quad Cities. I must have started to doze because all of a sudden, so my hands must have been slipping off the wheel because all of a sudden. It vibrated, buzzed, and boom, there it was. I'm like, wow, the exit's here. So I was like, wow. Like I said, my hands must have just been coming off the wheel because I'm pretty sure I had both of them on at the time. And it's like, so it it worked like a charm.
There are a lot of safety features.
Yeah.
We were talking earlier, even driver reminders, the back seat, you hear the stories about the children being forgotten in the backseat.
I don't know how you can do that, so it's sad that we need this technology. However, it's really cool, though. So tell me about that.
Well, if you open the back door, even before you start the car, if you open the back door and close it again, so obviously they're thinking you might have put something in the back seat, then when you get in, drive, and go somewhere, when you turn the car off and get out, if you don't open that back door, the car's going to honk, a series of three quick honks, waits a minute, and another three quick honks, saying, you forgot something in the back seat, because before you left on your trip, you put something in the back seat. You had the door open.
So it's not a sensor for weight or anything in the back seat. It's just the fact that that door is open for some reason. The car doesn't know why, but they know you opened it. So you could have been a child. Could be your ice cream. You don't want that to melt either. So it's great. Even aside from the child thing, it's pretty great feature.
That's true. There's more and more features coming out.
Which you told me you just had that happen, didn't you?
I did this morning. I had to bring some boxes in from home, and I'd put them in the back seat, and I did forget about them. Then I was walking into my office, my car's honking at me, and I couldn't figure out what was going on. It wasn't the normal honk you get when you hit your key fob and lock the car, and it honks.
Yeah, that's some really cool technology. And yeah, again, sad that it's necessary, but again, not just for the child thing. I mean, yeah, your groceries, whatever. Sometimes you do forget something. You know, if maybe you put some in the front seat and some in the back seat, and there's some perishables in the back.
Oh, you can even have Alexa start your Nissan now.
Really?
Yeah. You can just say, Alexa, start my Rogue, and it'll.
Wow.
So it depends on what level of connected car you want and how much. I don't know that I would know how to do that. but you do, if you want the truly connected experience that is available.
Pretty amazing stuff. Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan, joining us here this morning. Let's talk some more about some of the technology. We talked a little bit about the ProPilot Assist. I know when we had you in last, you were talking about that. It was available on a few cars, but now, as you said, more and more models and more base models of cars. I mean, because I get a part of it, manufacturers want the cars to be as safe as possible because they get named in every single lawsuit when something happens also. So they want as much safety as possible too.
That's right. Even it used to be you had to get leather navigation moonroof, what they call the platinum package or the limited package, and that would have that technology. But now even the base, what I call a base SV Altima, comes standard with ProPilot. And the next version will be ProPilot 2.0, where I'll actually use the navigation system, whereas this they still call hands-on, eyes-on technology. It's just an assist capabilities. Within the next year and a half, ProPilot 2.0 will be out, and that'll use GPS, and they're saying that's on-ramp to off-ramp. Whereas out on the interstates, the open road, you actually won't need to have hands-on or eyes-on.
Wow, that's pretty amazing. Would not keep you from getting a DUI, probably, but because if you did get pulled over for whatever reason, because you drive by the police, they see you're not, you're sleeping or whatever, they're probably going to pull you over.
They are probably going to pull you over.
Yeah, so just be aware of that. But still, it's still great technology. It's pretty amazing, and like you said, it's coming really fast, and it's just going to keep getting updated too. I guess it's like with any other technology, with a computer, video games, whatever. It comes so fast and gets outdated quickly, and it's the same way with the automotive manufacturing.
Yes, it is. I can remember it would be 2017. I think we actually had a 2017, a 2017.5, and a 2018, and the cars looked identical, but the technology was so different they had to differentiate it just over a six-month period.
Is it possible in any, like, say, like the initial 2017 or like the 2017 and a half to do upgrades to that? Or is it, or that's one of the things I understand if they don't do it, it's like, well, we want to sell cars. So you're going to have to get this technology, you're going to have to get the new vehicle. But is that even a possibility?
That's a yes and no answer. Okay. Some of the things, yes, and some no. One of the common things we're finding on some of the older cars now is some of the new cell phones won't pair to the car like the old ones did. Sometimes we can update the software in the car that it'll handle newer cell phones. But if you were wanting intelligent cruise control on a car that didn't have we couldn't do something like that.
Okay. Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan, joining us here this morning. We're going to talk more about the technology. I mean, so the ProPilot 2.0, it's just amazing. Is there any other, I mean, I'm guessing there's probably other technology that we as drivers don't notice or don't know about it, but it's all, you know, with what the technicians have to do. There's whether it's anti-lock braking or just so many systems within, you know, helping operate the vehicle?
Those are the biggest is the autonomous driving. That's the mm-hmm. biggest area of change right now and where a lot of the focus is. But the safety features, the cross-traffic alert, you know, front-end collision avoidance used to be it had to sense another car or a large stationary object. Now it's even got pedestrian detection. It's going to know if there's someone coming into the crosswalk, not necessarily right in front of you, where it's going to apply the brakes before you have a chance to in many cases. So it's improvements in the things that have been available for a while.
Pretty amazing stuff that's going on in that industry. And all for the better, though, too. I'm sure you're seeing that, too.
It is. And that's why leasing still is a viable option if you're not driving over 15 or 18,000 miles a year. It's a way to ensure that, you know, I'll get a new car every 3 years. This is my monthly expense. This is my payment. Usually a lease payment's going to be comparable or less than a 5 or 6 year monthly car payment. And in 3 years, you're not going to be stuck owing maybe more on what your car is worth, which is common, seems like, anymore as fast as things depreciate. So in the right cases, that's another reason leasing makes sense, just because the technology is changing so fast, what's going to outdate the current models that are on the road. And if you like a new car every 3 or 4 years, leasing starts to make good financial sense.
And not that people don't buy like that, like, because it used to be, there was a lot of people that, you know, every 3 years or so you would buy new, but this is just another option that.
Right. Yeah. You still have both options and you just decide which makes more sense from you. We'll sit down, compare it side by side. Here's what your payment is if you buy it. Here's what your payment is if you lease it. Here's the impact of $1,000 down on a lease. Here's $1,000 down on a car or on a purchase, retail financing, however you want to look at it. But with the warranty usually matches up with the lease, so you really don't have any other car expenses. So I'm a big believer in leasing. It's a fair amount of our business. Galesburg's a little more traditional, conservative, maybe not as open to that as the metropolitan markets. So our lease penetration or the amount of cars we lease compared to retail, still it's more 50% the conventional purchase, but that you see the leasing growing every year.
Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan, joining us. This is Galesburg Live. We'll take a quick break, come back, and talk more about Galesburg Nissan and kind of the future of Nissan and what's happening with it.
Oh.
Good morning. This is Galesburg Live. Tom Meredith, our guest this morning in our first hour, Jeff Klink, the owner of Galesburg Nissan. We're talking about the dealership and the Nissan brand and kind of the future. Well, first off, before we get kind of into the future of things, talk more about the dealership itself. You know, people come in looking new, but you've also always got a great selection of pre-owned as well, whether they're Nissans or other brand. And normally, especially with you guys, that whatever somebody's looking for, you will do your best to find it, whatever the vehicle is.
Yes, if we don't have it in stock, especially with Nissans, you know, we have access to the off-lease vehicles before anybody else. So when a customer turns one in, whether it's at our store or another store, we can get that off-lease vehicle and sell it as a used car. And the nice thing about us now is the home of the lifetime warranty. For about 18 months now, every 2014 and newer that we sell comes with a free lifetime warranty. That's engine, transmission, and drivetrain. No deductible, no crazy service requirements. If you miss an oil change by 1,000 miles, we're not going to tell you your warranty's void. If you don't service the transmission at 80,000 when the manufacturer said to, if you miss it by 10,000 miles, again, we're not going to void your warranty. So it's just good common sense approach to maintain your vehicle. And you can drive it for as many miles as long as you want and have no major repair expense.
Well, and the other thing is, too, also you see, you know, see or hear commercials for basically what's an insurance policy, which is sort of a warranty. You're not doing that. You're not paying anything for this. You're not paying a premium like you are, or a deductible.
That's correct. The big motivation for us is there's no deductible when you bring the car back to us. If you're in Chicago or St. Louis or decide to go somewhere else, there is a $200 deductible. So,
which isn't bad.
That's not bad. But
not as good as free, though.
Not as good as free. Yeah. And you get a free loaner car for life whenever you buy a vehicle from us. If your car has to be in the shop, we're going to give you a loaner car. We're going to hopefully find a way to bill either the warranty company or the manufacturer for any repairs that we're doing. That's what's been great about the lifetime warranty. They pay our retail rate. The warranty company pays us to fix your car. We hate to see you have a problem, but we get compensated for our work when you do.
Well, and the great thing is also now I think that vehicles are so much better that, and probably gives you some peace of mind as well, that knowing that most of these vehicles, if they're taken care of even somewhat good, they're going to run for about $200,000 or better anyway.
Or better.
Yeah.
I can remember when I got in the business in the early 90s, you didn't want to resell a 100,000-mile car. You just knew you were creating problems for yourself. Somebody was going to be mad at you, or you're going to sell a vehicle that. And then when you walked into the basketball game at the high school that weekend, you're going to get chewed out. So, and we just can't make a living selling one car. We have to build loyal, repeat customers, take great care of them, make sure they're getting a great price, and have a good experience while they own the vehicle. Otherwise, they're going to go somewhere else. It's too easy to go somewhere else. So,
yeah, I mean, if you're looking at, you know, pre-owned whatever, say an Altima or Maxima, got 50,000 miles on it. There was a time it was like, yeah, that's, you know, I can get a really good deal because it got a lot of miles on it. Well, now you're almost buying a brand new car at a great deal.
You are. I mean, it's true. And like I mentioned earlier, it was rare to see a 100,000 mile car, especially one you wanted to resell. I'll bet we've traded for five cars this week that all have over 150,000 miles on them. Some of them we will resell. They still have good life left in them. At the same time, if people don't take care of their car, I can see a 30,000 mile car or 40,000 mile car that I wouldn't want to resell. Yeah. So a lot of it depends on how they've been cared for.
Let's talk a little bit about the future with Nissan. I mean, we talked a lot about the technology and what's to come, and that'll keep updating. One of the big things now on the electric side, and not only you've had the Leaf for a while, and it keeps getting updated, obviously, with technology, but there's, what, soon an SUV?
Yes, we're going to have a large SUV that's going to be all electric. The Leaf was sort of a novelty vehicle when it began, but it's becoming more and more mainstream. And I think you're seeing all manufacturers are starting to offer electric vehicles. I just saw Audi the other day is going to have its first electric vehicle. That's going to be probably the fastest growing segment of the business is the electric vehicles because the technology's there now. The range is getting to where it's usable. The Leaf started was about 100, 125 miles on a charge was all you could expect. The new Leaf that just came out were upwards of 225, 250 miles on a charge. The infrastructure for recharging, of course, you can recharge at home while you sleep. So if you're running around town or maybe just to the Peoria or the Quad Cities, that can be done on a single charge and no worries. The longer trips, you're going to have to plan ahead.
Yeah.
The quick charge stations, the ones that can do a full charge in 20 minutes, are far and few between.
Yeah.
To plug into a 220, you're probably looking at 5-6 hours if it needs a complete charge. So we're back to that overnight scenario or a heck of a lot of planning.
Well, so are the prices now getting to the point with more and more of them being out there that it's worth the savings that you're going to have on gas over the life of it?
I think more so than hybrids. The hybrid technology used to have to pay to get that increased fuel economy that the hybrid system offered. And it was a long payback when you sat down and looked at it. That's not so much with the electric vehicles now. The electricity they consume is really pennies a day. So you're avoiding that $40 at the gas pump or $50 depending on where gas goes. So it's a much quicker payback because you hardly notice with the times I've driven a Leaf for a week or two, I don't even notice a difference in my electric bill hardly, and I do know I don't burn any gas.
Well, I was going to say, as opposed to, you know, 40, 50 bucks a week, depending on how much you drive, or even every couple of weeks, if you got it plugged in, if you're not even noticing that much a month in your power bill, there's, you know, that's a big difference right there.
Big difference.
Yeah. So the Leaf, and again, you said the technology continues to get greater. Here's the thing that I've always wondered, not knowing anything about cars, is with electric vehicles and needing to be charged, all gas-powered, diesel-powered engines have the alternator, which charges the battery while it's driving. Why is that? Is there? There's got to be a reason, obviously, that that's not in electric vehicles. Why?
There's actually a 12-volt battery, standard car battery, in the electric vehicles, and that allows the system to turn on and get started. The lithium-ion batteries are the ones that drive the car and the electric motor. It's versus a combustion engine. Some of the electric motors are now, they're small enough they can put one in each wheel, which opens up that whole passenger compartment to extend forward to the hood area. Mm-hmm. And the electric motors are much smaller. So you're getting much more cargo capacity, passenger capacity with the electric vehicles. And their range is really getting extended now to the point that they make sense for a lot of people.
So is there an alternator for that 12-volt that runs the stuff in?
Well, actually, the car uses regenerative braking. So you're creating friction when you apply the brakes, and they're harnessing that friction to actually put back into the batteries. So, yes.
One of the other things I've always wondered with the rechargeable batteries, like for instance, with your cell phone or whatever, when they came out, and it's not as bad anymore, but they had a memory. And if you charged it before it was all the way drained, it had a memory. You're not going to get a full charge. Now it's only going to be up to this point. And apparently that's not the same with the vehicles, though, because you can go on the quick charge or whatever when you might still have a partial charge.
Well, and the quick charge, for the heat's the worst thing on the battery, and charging them generates heat. The quick charge systems that I'm aware of usually will only go up to 80% of capacity. You don't want to overcharge or overheat that battery. So the trickle charge, or you can do a 120 or 110, 220, whatever, and those will go up to the 100%. They're a healthier charge for the battery life. But there aren't any oil changes anymore, for instance.
Right.
There's no spark plugs to change. But there is a battery conditioning test they recommend you do once a year, where you bring it into the dealer and have them fully drain the batteries and recondition them up to extend their life and capacity. The Nissan Leaf has an 8-year, 100,000-mile, zero-deductible warranty on its battery systems just because of the consumer concerns.
Jeff Klink is the owner of Galesburg Nissan. Let's talk more about the future. We talked about some technology. A lot of the times, the technology will be in the higher-end cars first. And in Nissan's case, it'll come out in the Infinities first, and then the higher-end versions of whichever Nissan vehicles. What else is out there that may be coming in the near future?
I think the electrification part, the battery mm-hmm. vehicles with no combustion engine in them, will be the fastest growing change to the industry. But the driverless technology, that as it's going to, and 5G is going to play a big part of that, because there'll be interconnected networks. When you have the autonomous cars driving, they experience a large pothole in the road. The cars behind it are going to know to avoid the large pothole in the road.
So you don't want to be the first car then, right?
You've got to find out about it somehow.
You're right, right.
And traffic jams, traffic avoidance, rerouting of traffic during emergencies. The cars are going to know ahead of time what you need to do on an instantaneous platform. So 5G is what's going to make the next big leap in all this technology be more mainstream.
Yeah.
And do more for us.
Well, I guess some of it's not surprising, because there's apps out there right now, whether it's Waze or whatever, that will tell you not only where there's construction wherever you're driving, or where there's like just a backup for whatever reason, and can give you an alternate route and that type of stuff. So yeah, it's just to have that standard in your car someday is going to be pretty cool.
Yep. And the car will be doing it for you.
Yeah, that's a good thing. Jeff Klink, owner of Galesburg Nissan. Jeff, always appreciate your time. Thank you so much for joining us here this morning.
Thanks, Tom.